So the Gemara on Daf Yudal Amud Aleph speaks about Etne'id Baduk. Itmar Bodka, she checks herself with an Eid Baduk, Baduk Log. The Tachato Birecha. So as a general rule, if she checks herself and she looks at the Eid, which was an Eid Baduk, then she's Tmei B'Torah's Vada. The Gemara had a Havamina of maybe we should suspect that it's a Dam Makolas. The Gemara says the name Reb Zeira also Makom Baduk Eitzel Makolas. Fine. But here, what she did was she didn't check the Eid immediately, but rather she was Dochak the Eid, she pushed the Eid Al Yurecha. Ulam Machar, and then the next day she checks the aid and Matzah Aleha Dam, and she finds Dam. And the Gemara vacillates back and forth. Rav originally held that she was a Safek Nida and Lamaskana Tmeya Nida B'Toris Vadai, and that's how the Gemara passes. So we can take a look in the tour. And the Torah in Siman Kuf Tzadi says the following: Bodka atzma b'ed ha-boduk la, ulamachar matza aleha dam, kol shehu, meaning that we would suspect that maybe there's a possibility that as she made this bedika, she squashed some sort of a kina. It's only a kol shehu that she finds. Oshen ichaso bekufsa ulamachar matza alav dam afilu bekolshu tmei bein imhu agul o mashach. Doesn't matter what the shape is. The normal shape when you do a bdika is to find it mashuch, but even if she finds it agul, it doesn't matter. We have no reason to assume that it came from anywhere else, because we said that the makom is chazaka, that there's no macholis. Then he writes the following: V'im tachaso bi'erecha li'achar shebodka bo, o sheni chaso tachas akar vakeses tahashta ikol misli bedam kina shenismayich bi'erecha. Otachas kar v'keses. Here we could be makil on the two. We'll see two conditions. So what happened? She did a bedika with an aid badukla, and then she pushes it b'yerecha, or she hides it under the pillow. So he says the following: Imhu agul tahora. If the dam that she finds on the aid is agul, and then he says ubilvad shelo yebo kigris viod, and it's less than a kigris, in such a case, then we have the possibility ikal mitli bedam kina shenismaych birecho tachasakar. Uvadai enu dam kinuach. The dam that she found on the eight is not from the kinuach bioso makom. Shim haisa dam hakinuach hayamoshuch. So the tour is making the point that the raya, the hochacha, that this is not dam migufa is the fact that she found it agul. Had she found it as a result of the kinuach bioso makom, it would have been moshuch. Again, in order to say Tliya B'Macholos, we have to fulfill another condition. It can't be larger than a Kegris V'od. Aval im yesh bo Kegris V'od, o afilu im ein bo Kegris V'od bu Moshuch, Tomei. Then he writes, V'adoni ovi harosh zal kosav, b'eid ha-baduklo v'tachaso b'erecha, shetmea mishum nida. The ein chiluk bein agul bein mashuch bechol inyan tmea bekolshu. So after quoting the first opinion, which is the opinion of the Rashba, and is willing to be mekil if you have those two conditions, namely, it was agul, and number two, it was less than a kegris. The Rush, so claims the tour, would be metamihar with an eight baduk in that situation, even though it was tachva yivarecha, and even though it was agul, and even if it was pachos mikugris, the whole 9 yards, nevertheless she's tmeya. Because the Rush doesn't accept any tliya when it comes to an eight baduk. Aye, we have a case of tliya in the kar or the keses. So that's what we discussed last time, that kar and keses is a little different because there macholis is matzli. Now the Bach points out, I'll just read a few lines to the Bach. I really want to get to the Beis Yosef today in the Shulchan Aruch. He writes, Svile hashta de tachasa b'yarecha de tmeya nami eno el b'mashuch. That's the first opinion before the Rush, is that tachvi b'yarecha is tmeya only because it was mashuch. And why? If it's mashuch, then less base suffik. In such a case, we're not going to doubt. Elavade will certainly assume who migufa asa b'shasha kancha aval agul tahora. So again, everything comes down to this business about agul. And once it's agul, then the case of tochva b'yarecha becomes equivalent to the case of nasun tachas hakara o hakeses. Then he writes, "Umasha kosev adoni ovi a rush kosev to be a baduk." V'tachaso b'yarecha tmeya hachi perusha l'svara kamaisa din tachaso b'yarecha ki din tachas hakar. According to the first opinion quoted here in the tour, there's no difference between tachaso b'yarecha and tachas hakar. And in both cases, if she finds it mashuch, she's tmeya, but if she finds it agul, she's tahora, and we're told it b'macholis. And we're told it b'macholis bein, both in the case of tachas hakar, and in the case of tachaso b'yarecha. In both situations, we have a serious tliya in a macholis. And the reason for that is because, says the Bach, we found it agul and not mashuch. The Rosh is going to say that which we find in the Mishnah on Nun Chesam and Beis regarding Tachas Akar, that's one din, and here Tochva V'Yerecha is a different din. Afal Gav the Kaimel and the Tachas Akar Eina Tmeya Ela B'Mashuch. So if she finds it Agul in the case of Tachas Akar, she's Tahora. Kiri Isa Lehej B'Sof Perikaro Kesem. Udkirikasav harosh sham, aval bedin tachasav birecha kasav harosh. That an eight baduk law the tachasav birecha tmeya mishum nida, and the Rosh makes no qualifications. Umidalo pirish davar mashman the sfirle yeshlach afilu b'tachasav birecha delo talin in macholus. And that means even though had it been tachasakar and it was ogul, we would be tole macholus. But the Rosh seems to say no. Then in the case of yerecha, we're not tole at all, and she's tmeya, and that would apply even in the case of ogul. And that's what he says. Zoshakasav Rabbeinu. That's what the Torah means when he says that according to the Rosh, ein chiluk bein ogul bein mashu b'chol iyan tmeya b'chol shu. The din tachaso b'yarecha k'din hinichaso b'makom megula, or hinichaso b'kufsa, the lo talin and klal b'macholes. So it goes back to the case where she did an internal inspection. She was bodekes be'ed baduk, and it was not a case of tachasakar, which is like considered a makom megula, and therefore we don't assume that there's a macholis. Again, if you recall, the Taz is going to say that we don't assume there was a macholis because of the Rambam Shita, and that the Tur quoting the Rosh is really the same identical Shita as the Rambam, that any kesem al b'sara doesn't have the possibility, doesn't lend itself to tliya of the macholes. But that's not the way the Bach understands. The Bach understands that this tliya of the macholes, even al gufa, but it's not the same as tachas akar, because tachas akar is considered a mokum megula, and that's where there's a very good chance that there was a macholas, and we're told in a macholas. So that's more or less what we did last time. Now, what I was excited about is that no one seems to quote the Rashba verbatim, and I wanted to see the Rashba's language. The Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba. He says, "A Rashba b'Torah Sabayis Hakotzar Zelushono Ha'isha Shebodka Atzma B'Eid Boduk Lo V'Nimtza Olav Dam Afilu Tipa Kechardo Bein Ogul Bein Moshuf Tmeo." So we don't assume that when she was making this internal inspection, she may have had some sort of contact with a kina in which she crushed the kina. And the same thing would apply even if she didn't check the aid immediately afterwards because she locked it up in a kufsa. Then she opens up the kufsa. Matzal of dam, if she finds dam on the aid, is kolshu, even if it's the smallest amount of dam, bein moshu, bein ogul, she's tmei. Bodka v'ei boduk lo v'yachach tochosu b'yirecho o heni choso mitachas lakar. You see that already the Rashba is equating the cases of tochosu b'yirecho with tachas lakar, where we do have tliya v'macholes. Ulo mochar nimtzal of dam. Im agul, if the shape of the dam that she finds on the aid is agul, and number two, v'einbo kigris v'yo tahora de talina b'macholas. So we do have tliya b'macholas, even in the case of tofaso b'yirecha, as long as we fulfill these two conditions, namely agul and pachos mikigris. So that's very good. Shema macholas nismacha sham. Either tachasakar or v'yirecha, the afal pi she'ed baduku, even though the aid was baduk, and now to tell me that the dam on the aid came from acholus, that seems like a stretch. We're dealing with a possibility of a doraisa here. He says the answer is that chazaka, we have a strong chazaka that im dam kinuach. If the dam that she's finding on the aid was from the kinuach, meaning its internal dam, then hayu mashuch. It should have been mashuch. And Ein Hachinami says the Rashba in the next line, v'yin mashuch tameh. So again, the chiddush of aid baduk is that even if it's less than a kegris, we're not going to be told in macholos if it's mashuch. The key of keys here, I think, that allows us to introduce Tliya b'macholos in the case of an eid baduk according to the Rashba, is the fact that the dam was moshuch. I'm sorry, that the dam is ogul and not moshuch. And he writes, Ein omrim bozeh dam macholos. So if she finds it on the aid as moshuch, we're not going to say it's dam macholos. Why? Kevan sheha eid baduk etzla, since she checked the aid, zeh chomer bi aid mi b'chalok. Meaning, here it's different than finding a kesem. Shakesem shenimtza b'chalok afal pishu baduk. Even though this chalok was clean of dam before she put it on, nevertheless, she's tahora. Why? And bein agul bein mashuch tolen osa lahakim macholes. As long as it's less than a kugris v'yod, we apply the principle of tliyav macholes in the case of a kesem on chaloka. And that's regardless of whether she finds a kesem that's ogul or mashuch, that's the kula of ksamim. In other words, they never were mitami a kesem when there's a possibility of tliya b'macholes, and there's a possibility of tliya b'macholes because she didn't make a b'dika. As long as it's in the absence of a b'dika, she can be told in a macholes, and it's irrelevant whether or not it's ogul or mashuch, as long as we have the one single condition of pachos mikigris v'yod. Masha'enken, in the case of an eid baduk lo, there we're going to be more machmir, and we're only going to allow tliya b'macholes if we have not only the condition of pachos mikigris, but a second condition, namely it's ogul. And he builds everything, the Rashba, on this concept of Agul, the fact that she found the dominant Tzura Agula. He says, Chazaka im dam kinuachu, if it would have been the dam that came out of her body through the kinuach, through the spedika, without a macholis, Moshech haya. It should have been Moshech. And the fact that he finds it, that she finds it Agul, that's the key of keys here. So again, if we wanted to summarize according to the Rashi, what's the nafkamina between ksamim and a baduk in the case of hinichat tachva ben yirecha? The answer is agul. That in a case of an a baduk, the only possibility of tliya is if she finds it agul. Whereas in the case of kesem al chaloka, even if it's not agul, it's mashal, she can be told in a makolis. Both of which require a condition of pachos mikagris viyot. Then, at this point, the Beis Yosef, after quoting this Rashba, he goes on to what the Torah says in the name of Adoni Avi Arash, that in an Eid Barakla, in Tafasa Birecha, Tmea Mishum Nida, and it matters not whether it was Agul or it was Mashuch. And on that, the Beis Yosef writes, Mikomakom Nira Delo Dok Rabbeinu B'mashatol Adon B'Avim Zah. Lodak Rabbeinu, meaning the Torah was not medayik in accusing, so to speak, his father, the Rosh, of saying so. Lomar, to say that Tmea Mishum Nida, whether or not it's Agul or it's Mashuch. Meaning that Chumrah, in the case of Dama Yerecha, is only to be attributed to the Rambam, but not to the Rosh. We have Machlokas in between the Torah and the Beis Yosef had to interpret the Rosh Shita, which league or which team is he playing on? You can imagine he's questioning the Torah in the name of his Rosh, because again the Torah is based on a quote of the Rosh. It's not like he heard it from his father. Because he says Kasav Adoni Avim. So I guess maybe when he heard it directly he would say Shamati or something along that line. I don't know. But anyway, so this is something that you should write in, you know, in your ledgers, that this is a case of a machlokes about the tradition of the Rosh between the Torah, who's quoting his father, and the Beis Yosef. In which case, according to the Beis Yosef, the Torah never said what the Rambam says, that if it's an Eid Bedika and Tachva Birecha, there's no tli of a macholes, because it matters not whether it's agul or it's mashuch, and it's a chumrah of a baduk. No, that could be the Rambam shita, but it's not the Rosh shita. Ein l'mod zemei arosh. He says v'imrat zolom hasharosh ha'yigoreis tmeya mishum nida. It's true that I can grant the Torah that, and that's probably what led the Torah to his conclusion, because the Rosh writes, in the case of an Eibodik V'tachva Ben Yerecha Tmei Mishum Nida, and therefore he went ahead and he assumed that since the Rosh didn't qualify it, like the Bach pointed out, it means the Rosh was Metamiar both in Agul and in Mashuch. The Elu Ha Omrim Letayar Bi Agul Pachas Mikagris Enom Garsim El Tmei Stam. If the Rosh would have agreed to the Rashba, and we can make this chiluk between Agul and Mashuch, then the Girsa should have been Tmea. Not Tmea Mishum Nida. Tmea means a suffix. Tmea Mishum Nida means Vadai. If that's what the Torah is basing himself on, the fact that the Rosh's Girsa is Tmea Mishum Nida, which implies Vadai, She'ilu hayu garsim Tmea Mishum Nida loya machalki b'kach, we make no distinction between Agul and Mashuch, with all due respect to this Agul and the Chazok of the Agul, but it's not Dam Kinuach, but not against the Vadai. He says, in Cain, Lohayel Lichtov, he should have said that Adoni Ovi Gores Tmea Mishum Nida. Umiloshon Kosav, but he cites Kosav Adon Yosh, Mashma Delava Girsakoi, Elal Advarm Shekosav. He says that the language in the Torah seems to be that we're analyzing the words of the Rashba, not the Girsa that the Rashba had in the Gemara.
He says the anu, but the Beis Yosef says that us lo matzinu lo zal shekosav shum davar midaito bazeh.
We didn't find in the Rosh anything that he quoted midaito. Elahetik loshen agmar bilvan. All he did was quote the Gemara verbatim. There's no reason to attribute to the Rosh this very extreme, harsh position that he's not machalik between Ogul and Moshuch. The Ode, and furthermore, Rashba Shu machalik Osan. The Rashba certainly accepted that distinction between Ogul and Moshuch, as we saw explicitly. Gores Tmei Mishumida. He also has the gears of Tmei Mishumida. So neither the tour is interpreting the Rosh Lachumra based on a girsa of Tmei Mishum Nida, nor did the Rashba, who was the one who was making in the case of Ogul, he had the girsa of Tmei Mishum Nida. So the girsa of Tmei Mishum Nida is not conclusive evidence. Not only that, Tosvis has the girsa of Tmei Mishum Nida, v'afilu hachi kosva Tosvis, that kigon sheyesh la gris v'od. That why is there no chashash macholos? Because the aid baruch has dam, which is more than a gris viot. Is mavur atam mavur the kavedel or gishu, but rather the language of Tosfos and the Rashba is indicative of the following piece of lomdus. He says kavedel shal gisha she never gargasha is raglayim udav shalom bami gufa leficha tolin b'meishef shalitlos. And that's a very interesting language, Bamesha Efsha Litlos. Meaning at this point, if we can find some logic that points to the direction of Tliya, for example, the Rashba's Chazaka, that if it was Dam Kinuach, then she would have found it Moshuk, and instead she found it Ogul, and that proves that, you know, that indicates at least that it's not Dam Mina Mokar. Is therefore Hilkov bepachos me kugris viod talina bedam makolus kol shetachos birecha onas noso tachas hakar. And therefore, according to the Beis Yosef, not only is the Rashba on board that we could be makil in an aid bedik if we have those two conditions of ogul and pachos me kugris, but even the Rosh is on board according to the Beis Yosef. He also maintains that position. There's no reason to prove or think otherwise. And then, of course, the Ramban says in his Psakim exactly what the Rashba says. So I'm inclined to anticipate, after I close the Beis Yosef, that when I open the Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to find that he passes like the Rashba, and he's going to assume that even the Rosh accepted the Rashba, against the Chumras of Rambam, that Tochve Ben Yerecha, we could be told in a macholis if we have the two conditions that it's pachos mikugris and it's what?
Ogul.
And it's ogul.
So let's just see if we can find this in the Shulchan Aruch.
Yes.
Okay. He says the following. This is Kuf Tzadi, Seif Lamed Dalid.
Lamed is one of the.
Okay, I just want to go back to Lamed Dalid because of the Taz. He says, Bodka atzma bi eid ha bodukla vi nichosa tachas hakar o tachas hakeses ulo mocher nimtza ledam im moshuch tmeo shechizkoso mi akinuach. So again, we don't have an absolute all-inclusive tliya in the case of eid boduk, as we did in the case of a kesem. Here we're going to have the following hesitations. We're going to have to add a condition that it's got to be ogul and pachos mikagris. So again, in kesem, all we need is pachos mikagris. Doesn't matter whether it's ogul or moshuch. But in the case of dam hanimtza al bdika, al ein bdika, we're going to need ogul plus ein bo kagris. Is tahora she'ein ze el dam makolas shenerga tachas akar. So this basically reflects what we see in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Chesem and Beis about hanichosa tachas akar. But it is a major breakthrough, in that we're talking about Dama Nimsa the Aid Baruch Law, and yet we're willing to apply the Din of Tliya. And that's because it was B'mokum Agula, and we found it to be Ogul and not Moshuch. And here we're going to have the Taz that we want to come back to again today, and he wants to take this even a step further, even in the case of Moshuch. But we'll see the Taz in just a minute. Then the Mechaber writes in Sif Lamed Hei, Bodka atzma b'eida boduk lo v'tachaso b'yerecho l'mocher nimtza l'adam. So, so far, the first dea that he quotes here in the Mechaber is going to reflect the Rash from the Ramban and the Rosh, the way the Beis Yosef himself understands the Rosh. Im moshuch tmeah, I feel the culture. Im ogul tahorim ein bar pachas mikigur, im ein bar kigris. So it means that the Mechaber here in the first opinion is reflecting the shita of most of the Rishonim, that even in a case of tachaso b'yerecha, we can apply the principle of tliya b'macholes, as long as we have the following two conditions. Number one, that it is agul, and number two, that it's pachos mikagris. So I'm very excited about this, because this really is the culmination of everything we saw in the Beis Yosef. Then he writes, v'yesha omrim, shaf agul tamei v'kol shehu, which again, according to the Torah, is the opinion of his father, but I think, according to the Mechaber, it's the opinion of the Rambam. Let's just read the Pei Aleph here in the Beragola. What does it say, Rambam Sham? Oh, excellent, Rambam Sham. V'kosav harav ha-magid shekidivri rabbeinu roi lahachmir. V'chein kosav ha-tur b'shem ha-rosh. Again, the Chumra here is because of the Rosh. Everybody, in other words, what I'm saying is that the thrust of the poskim who want to be machmir is because they accepted the Torah hook, line, and sinker, that there's not just the Shitas Rambam, but it's also the Shitas Rosh. I'm not sure that we have to be machmir, at least, let's say, I should say, those who follow the psak of Maran HaMachaber, those for Sephardic Jews, I think that they can certainly make a case that the Beis Yosef and the Machaber, who's all the same, of course, are of the opinion that we can rely on the Rashba Viseyaso, which also includes the Rush, and we can be making with Tliya even in the case of Tachva V'Yerecha, and the reason for that is because we have two conditions met, it's Agul and it is Moshach.
Does the Rift say anything about this?
I didn't see the Rift, that's the honest truth.
I
don't see anyone quoting it.
The tour works on is two out of three. Is that right? So
could be. And therefore, here, if he has both the Rambam and the Rosh, you know.
That's right. So here, the Torah, if the Torah holds that the Rosh and the Rambam are the same,
right,
then he ought to be poskening like the Torah, like the
correct. Rosh, and that's really where we get this Ramaz Chumra of the Chenika, that he wants to accept the Yesh Omrim. But the Beis Yosef, who was a contemporary of the Ramah, he reinterpreted the Rosh, and he said, you know, I object to putting the Rosh into that seah, into that category of poskim, and I think that's why there's a lot of room here to be making, and that might lead us to the Taz,
because we don't have that Rosh.
Well, with the Rosh really just quotes our Gemara verbatim, you know, the problem is that the Torah understood that what the Rosh was gaining here, what was the Rosh trying to teach us by quoting the Gemara verbatim, is to teach us what the right girsa is in the Gemara. And the girsa is that tmeya mishum nida, which the Torah understood, at least that's how the Beis Yosef understands the Torah, that the Rosh was trying to say the following, that in the context of our girsa, tmeya mishum nida, you should know, this is a tumas vadai, and we can't play around with tliya b'makolas. Whereas the Beis Yosef insists that the Rashba himself had that girsa, and it was the Rashba who said that we can be mekel and ogul and pops we can gris in the case of dam tochfas v'yerechad and a baduk, and therefore we should assume that even if the Rosh had that girsa of tmeya mishum nida, it doesn't exclude everything that we saw in the Rashba and in the Ramban, namely that we can be told in Makolas if we have this condition of Ogul. And that's what I think is the thrust of the Beis Yosef here. And there's something very important going on here, because if you go back to the Rosh, I'm sorry, to the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef adds another point over here, and that is the fact that she didn't have Hargosha. The one who really, really builds on that is the Taz. Remember I told you that the Taz has a certain kula here, which is very, very relevant to halacha. And I'm
I'm plotting to accept it, you know, to try to find enough evidence to accept this Taz. The Taz writes, Mashma, the af besafek shehu al yedei bedika. That's the Chiddush here. She made a bedika, which we always identify with the Doraisa halacha. Mahani bo litlos b'shun dover. In other words, as long as we have some sort of a logical, compelling position that draws us into Tliya, we should apply the din of Tliya, even though we're dealing with a bedika. Al kein nirali. This is the what I call the major breakthrough of the Taz. And again, I have no doubt that he's building himself on the Beis Yosef, and he says so himself. He says, nearly be'isha sheregila lahotzi dam mi'beis harei shelo, what we call hemorrhoids. He says, bodka atzma be'eid baduk u'b'shas habdika noga gam shor. Is the tolaba. Again, I'm not going to get into issues here about Shas Vesta and Shalom B'Shas Vesta. That's already, we'll have to go back to what we learned 6 months ago, which we need a chazar for that. Oh, and here, I think the Taz spills the beans here. And he really begins to show his true colors as to why, in the case of Eid Bedika, we could be Mekil in this strange case where she wiped herself and touched the aid, came in contact with the hemorrhoids. Says the Taz, the Enkan Sofi Doraisa. We've been insisting from now until Mashiach's Zeiten that if she finds Dam on an aid Bodukla, that's called a Doraisa. He says, no, it's not a Doraisa. Why? Kamen Shalor Gisha the Dam in Amokar. I Dilma, you know, Lama Daite, but no, he's not impressed by that. Those Dilmas are Chumras, you know? They're Chumradika Dilmas, but leave out the Dilmas here. The Dilmas bring you to dilemmas, you know. He says, no. Kevitzalor Gisha Bidamina Moko Ukamosha Kosav Beis Yosef Khan Bidibra Maskal Mikomakom. This is our Beis Yosef Dibra Maskal Mikomakom, where he mentions this Svara. That we have this kasha. Again, I don't know how the poskim are going to deal with this in our time, really. So I'm not around the bases yet. You know, I'm very far from home plate. But the Beis Yosef at least presents this far. Why didn't she feel the hargasha of dam and amoka? Vizelishona venerally the hecha the ikalamecha shema bo hadam bi eid ze machmashin is aska. So the Beis Yosef is addressing a different case here, where she had left the eid baduk in a place where she had other ksamim, meaning other cloths or whatever it might be that are bloodstained, and he says in such a case tolin bahem. And the Beis Yosef goes as far as to say Afilu Yosef Mikagris in that case. So therefore, the Taz in his first argument in this, we'll call it the hemorrhoids case, if you don't mind. I don't know, that's not very aesthetically pretty, but just to get it, because otherwise I have to go through the whole rigmarole here, that we can be makel there based on the logic of the Beis Yosef in another case, where she left the Eid Bedika near these other ksamim, because of the svara of Enkan Sofik Doraisa came in Shalor Hergisha. The fact that she didn't have the Argosha already leads us and compels us to think that the Dam must have come from someplace else. Go find out where it came from and activate the principle of Tliya. But now he gives a second svara. He says, V'od, the Mipnesha Kancha, since she did a kinuach, lo naniach mi litmos pamenti efshar. I mean, there's a logically compelling reason to be tola here. How can you be oblivious to this compelling logic to be tola? Because she was, her kinuach, right, her kancha, was even on the rei, on the base rei. It came on Shalor Gisha Vietzias Dam Migufa. Now I have two logically compelling reasons to activate and apply Tzliya. Number one, the fact that she didn't have Argosha. Number two, the fact that she did a Kinuach in which the aid came in contact with the Beis HaRei.
And therefore, he says that there's plenty of reason to be mekel here. Now, what I want to point out to you here is that as much as we find the Taz attractive in and of himself, because these two pieces of logic, you know, these two arguments that point us in the direction of Tliya v'Macholes, I want to add that the Taz took it upon his shoulders to go even a step further. And he wanted to say in this particular case of the hemorrhoid situation, that even if she finds dam on the Eid Bdika b'mashuch, she's still Tahor Labayla. That already goes very far. And that's why I want to point out to you that the Sidrei Tara said Adkan. You know, this is already going too far. He says Tzarchli even Ladino b'meshakos v'taz b'sifka and gimel b'zelashana kei nirali b'isha sheregil otzi dami beis harei shelo al yidei siba, whatever that disease is that brings these hemorrhoids, ubodka atzma is afil b'mashuk tahor. Right, he's quoting the tour, the Taz, excuse me. He says, "Huh, I don't understand the cause of a Rashba," and now he quotes the whole Rashba in the Torah Sivais, which we saw word for word verbatim in the Beis Yosef. And Afal Pi Sha'ed Badukla Chazaka, why was the Rashba willing in Torah Sivais to be Mekil in the case of Tachva Ben Yerecha, even though it's an aid baduk law, because the two conditions. One is it's less than a kigris. Okay, that we can put on the side. That doesn't bother my mind now, right now, occupy my mind. But number two, because it was what? Ogul. And this is the Sidrei Tara takes this ogul business and he puts it in neon lights. You know, he really emphasizes. He says, Chazaka imdam kinuachaya. The reason why we could be making in the case of Tokfa Ben Yerecha, says the Rashba, is because had it been that this dam on the aid was the dam kinuach from the internal bleeding, is Mashachai, it should have been Mashach. And what did he find? What did she find it? She found it Ogul. Ah, she found it Ogul. Is then, since it's Ein Bo Kegris, we can be making. And that was the sheet of the Rashba, which we think that the Mechaber accepted, that in the existence, the application of these two conditions, if they both could apply, then we could be Matayr. But the Rashba says clearly, in Mashuch, if she found the Dam Mashuch, is Tmeya.
How can they're two separate cases? Here there's another Mokom to be Tova. It came from the hemorrhoid, and therefore it's mashuch. It makes very
excellent. So you're a step ahead of me. I was going to ask you a kasha, but first I was going to try to present the Sidrei Tara, and then I was going to ask you a kasha and slug off what I want to say. I wanted to suggest the following: that the Sidrei Tara understands the Rashba in the following way. Everything comes down to this word chazaka in the Rashba. The Rashba feels that if you have dam bibdika on an eid baduk, then, you know, pardon the pun, but we see red. You know, it's really lechumra. To counter that, the Rashba says we need a chazaka. The situation of the hemorrhoids with the Taz, I think the Sidrei Tara would maintain that that's not called a chazaka. Let me try to explain. Yesh lachka, we could say it in one of two ways. One way of saying it is that even in an eid baduk, if there's a logical reason that points us to tliya, we're going to apply tliya. That's one way of saying it. That way I call histabrut, you know, like it's kind of a statistical probability theory, okay? That's one way of saying it. That's what I think is going to be the task. That's not how the Sidrei Tara understands the Rashba. I think what he understood the Rashba is this is not a question of statistics. This is a question of chazaka. Chazaka means a hochacha. We need some sort of proof that counters the eid baduk. What do I mean? Aid baduk means that the dam, you know, the aid went internal and the dam came out from that internal inspection. You could clear back and forth, did she have argosha, she didn't have argosha, fine. But the dam is clearly dam in amokar. Now you want to talk about tliya, and you want to raise all sorts of statistical probability. I'm not going to do that on an aid baduk. What the Rashba does allow is for a holchacha. Holchacha means your position is untenable. That's what a chazaka does. It's a holchacha in which you maintain that the dam is min hamakor, because after all, she did an internal inspection, is dam on the aid. I have a kasha. I'm going to prove that you're wrong. That's called a chazaka. How do I prove you're wrong? Well, wait a minute. Dam bekinuach with an aid is mashuch. Why did she find dam ogu? So that's the way the Sidrei Torah says. The Sidrei Torah says that in order to take an aid baduk and be matire a woman who finds dam on an aid baduk, you need a hochach, you need a chazok. And the only way of doing that, according to the Sidrei Torah in the Rashba, is through ogu. The Taz, according to the Sidrei Torah's accusation, went way too far here. You're right, in svirut, in statistical logic, so to speak.
In reality, yeah.
Yeah, in the reality part of it, you could say, well, wait, there is a compelling logic here to assume that maybe the dam on this bedika came from the Beis Harei. But that's not enough. I need a hochacha. And the clincher to create that hochacha, says the Sidrei Torah, has got to be mashuch. It's got to be ogre. So as soon as she finds it mashuch, okay, so why is she finding dam on the aid mashuch? The answer is one of two reasons. Either it's mashuch because it came from the Beis Harei, or it's mashuch because it came from Oso Mako. So go flip a coin. But I can't be mitire in such a case. The clincher would be, that's what I call the kosav ha-shlishi ha-yachriya b'nei, would be this chazok and this hochacha of ogul. Because once it's ogul, I say to you, come on, you can't tell me that this is dam in amokar, because if it's dam in amokar, then it should have been mashuch. And now we have the rabbi's question. What the Taz is saying is the following, that when does mashuch and ogul make sense, and you make that distinction, that's in a case where you are comparing makoles to dam in amokar. And I say the following, that dam in amokar could not be biogul, but makolis could be biogul. So then that distinction of the Rashba makes a lot of sense. It's a perfect match. But if you're talking about two dams that are coming, one is the dam mi beis harei, and the other is the dam mi amokar, and in both cases you have a kinuach, so if the kinuach touched in both places, it's going to be mashuch in both. No matter where it came from, it's going to be mashuch. Therefore, the whole distinction between mashuch and ogul falls apart. That's, I think, your argument. Says the Taz, if that be the case, since this aid baduk, with all the respect to the fact that it was an aid baduk, came in contact with the Beis Harei, then why not be told in the Beis Harei? There's a very logical, compelling, statistical probability that it came from the Beis Harei. That's the Taz.
So there are some numbers.
Oh, comes along the Sidrei Torah and he says, forget it. You can convince yourself from now till you're blue in the face that statistically I have a very good pointer to say, well, the dam didn't come from the mocker, it came from here. But wait a second, where's the hochacha? Where's the chazak? So you're right. You're right, Rabbi Taz, that there is no distinction here in this context between mashuch and ogul. There's no reason logically to distinguish between mashuch and ogul. We're not talking about a makolos versus a bedika. We're talking about this kinuach versus that kinuach, mashuch and ogul. But that doesn't mean anything. That just neutralizes everything. You know, you're back to zero. But that's not sufficient. Because what I need over here is I need a hochacha. And hochacha I don't have. I can only have hochach when I'm comparing makoles to kinuach, because if it was from the dam for the kinuach, then why is it mashuch? But mashenkin, if it's makoles, then I know why it's ogul. But in the absence of that hochach, that very positive drive, you know, that, you know, Yechiel and I had long discussions about davar chiyuvi and davar shlili, you know, it's not enough to be sholel, you need a davar chiyuvi over here. You know, according to the Sidrei Tara, I need this chazaka here, which can only be generated by Olu. Because the chazaka is telling me it can't be the way you said it. I have proof positive that you're wrong. With the Taz, I don't have proof one way or the other. There was a kinuach here, there's a kinuach here. Basically, I don't know where it came from.
But then we have a clause that says, Rov Dam comes from the Mapa. So you can have a chazaka, Rov Dam, Rov Dam. We had, I mean, that was one of the reasons we don't have a sfeik sfeik in general by Dam.
So that's why I think you feel that the Taz is not just pointing off this whole thing, well, maybe it came from the Beis Arei. That's not the Taz. The Taz builds his argument on the shoulders of the Beis Yosef. What did he get from the Beis Yosef? Which I think is pretty revolutionary. Again, the Beis Yosef was addressing a whole different case where she left the eight buttock in close proximity with other blood-stained cloths. But nevertheless, the oneness of the Beis Yosef is something that the Taz believes should apply here in the case of Beis Arei. Why? Because the Beis Yosef says, why didn't she feel the Hargasha? Now you and I might have said, well, you know why she didn't feel Hargasha? Because she did it. She did an internal inspection, the Lavadaite, etc. But the Beis Yosef is not operating with that. The Beis Yosef says that she didn't have Hargasha, the absence of Hargasha. That's why I'm telling you that this whole discussion, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag because we still want to see another Sidrei Tara and another Torah Sashlomim, but might not be so relevant in our time. Because in our time, the absence of Hargasha means nothing. Shetislachu. Again, I've seen it in Poskim, and I don't want to talk about any personal experience that I had with this, but go ask your average woman today, when was the last time she had Hargasha of Dam Yotzim and Amok? So the absence of Hargasha, I think, is Bokis today. So that's where my presentation of the Taz hits up with against the brick wall. Meaning, I think I can really justify the Taz as an entity, meaning in his presentation, logically, against the Sidrei Tara, and even in the case of Mashuv, but I don't know if I can justify that, you know, in contemporary halach. But let's hold on to that for another few minutes, because I still want to see the Sidrei Tara.
Just the Sidrei Tara, we become which oath?
Yeah, so I'll tell you the truth. I'll give you the oath, but if you can get a hold, this has been my agenda for the last 6 months, get a hold of the Friedman, it's so much easier. So I'll just mention, I'll mention it for the tape recorder too, because if anybody's listening out there and has access to the Friedman, it's on page Shin Samaches, because that's, Sidrei Tara is very hard to find. But it's, if you want to find it in the classical way, you know, if you don't have the Friedman, it is Kuf Pei Gimel, of course, and it's the end of Beis, I believe. Again, it's so hard to use this. It's not user-friendly. Oh, it's the very end of Sif. I'm confused, because it says here Aleph, and then it says Gimel. So what happened to Beis? Anyway, let's put it this way: right before Siv Kut and Gimel,
in Kuf
Gimel, in Kuf Gimel, right? In Kuf Gimel, right before Siv Gimel, if you can, about five paragraphs, because again, it's pages and pages. He has the paragraph that starts Gam Tzorach Li Iyun L'Dina.
Yeah, okay.
You got it. So that's the paragraph that you want to focus your attention on. Okay, now I have another Sidrei Tara for you. And again, for those who have the Friedman edition, it's on page Tuf Samach. And let me just get my notes out here. So that was Shin Samaches. And oh yeah, but before we go to this Amud Tov Samach, which I'll tell you where to find it in the old Sidrei Tara, that's in Simon Sadi Seif Lamites. So we just 1 minute before we get to that, the Sidrei Tara here in Kuf Pei Gimel adds another argument against the Taz, and he says the following. He says, what's the deal as far as tliya b'macholes in the case of a kesem? Al chaluka, right? There, we never made any difference between moshuch and agu. Now, wait a second. You're going to be tole a kesem in a macholes, even if you found it moshuch. That's the halacha. Why is that so? There's only one logical conclusion. It's a mathematical conclusion. That even in the case of macholes, you might find it moshuch. So therefore, if macholes also lends itself to moshuch, one begins to wonder why in the case of Eid Bedika do we put all the emphasis, even the Rashba who's making it, on the fact that it's ogul?
That's a funny argument.
Wait, just give me 1 second, because I don't have it myself. I had it again a few hours ago, but wait, can you just give me 1 second and then you'll slug me up. I just don't have it straight yet. Again, what's he saying? He's saying the following, that let's compare and contrast Ksamim to Eid Bedika. In the case of Ksamim, we're going to be Tola in a Macholes, even if what? Even if it's Moshuch. In the case of Eid Bedika, only if it's Ogul, correct? Okay. So what does this mean? This proves that even in the case of Macholes, there's a possibility of Moshuch. No, if that be the case, then why can't we be Mekil in an Eid Bedika, even if we find it Moshuch? Are you going to tell me, well, I don't want to be told in a Kesem because I found it Moshuch? What do you mean? I don't want to be told in a Macholes because I found it Moshuch, but in the case of Kesem, you yourself were told in a Macholes even though you found it Moshuch. So Moshuch is not a stira to Tliya of a Macholes. The answer must be, says the Sidre Tara, that we have to be more machmir in the case of Eid Baduk, and therefore this situation where, yeah, maybe it came from Macholes, and even though it's Moshuch, but nevertheless, even a Macholes, we're not going to say all of that. Why not? Because we need, in the case of Eid Baduk, we need the Hochacha, we need the Chazaka that proves conclusively that it couldn't be Min HaMokar. And what proves that it couldn't be Min HaMokar? The fact that it's Ogul. Go ahead, Rabbi. Now I got it. I'm sorry. It took me an extra minute. You're much faster than I am. That's the problem.
But in a sense bothers me.
Yeah.
Is that you're dealing with two different worlds. You're dealing with a halachic world of technicalities, and it's different from reality. The word, when you're dealing with told about the macholas.
Yeah. Macholas, actually. So I keep making that mistake, but it's really a chaf, a rough, a refuya.
It doesn't, in my mind, mean only a macholas.
Ah.
It means another, the blood can come from anywhere. Right. That's really what it means. It doesn't mean that there has to be a bed bug or a quinoa. Right. It can be from anywhere. So therefore, if it's on a chaluk, it's any size, any shape would be fine. But if you're doing a bedika, that makes sense that when you do an internal bedika, there's going to be a mashuch. It rarely can occur that there's going to be a mamish and equal.
Right. It's almost non-end.
And that's why the base array, when it makes, it depends on if it's a bedika bifnim,
right,
then you're not going to be touching the beis aray. If you're doing a kinuach, there's a possibility.
Right.
So it depends on the reality of the situation.
Right. I see. Okay. I'm just, this is what I have here. So let me present to you now the Sidre Tara's argument in Simon Sadi, Se'if Lamites. He quotes a tshuva from Rabbeinu Moshe. I don't know who it is. It's not Rav Moshe Feinstein, that I can promise you. And he says the following. He says that we're talking about the question of Tliya. And in the context of Tliya, Rav Moshe quotes this Taz. And he says the following. that we can perhaps justify the position of the Taz, and we're going to say the following, that although there is a possibility of finding Dam Macholes, which is Mashuch, but nevertheless, that's Lo Shchiach. That's not your normal situation. It's uncommon that Dam Macholes would be Mashuch. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, we should not be Tole Mashuch in a Dam Macholes situation. You'll ask me, but in the case of Ksamim, that's exactly what we do. In the case of a Kesem, Pachas Mikgris, we're Tola in a Macholas, even though it's Mashu. Says that's a different din. That's a din that Ksamim were organized by the Chazal in a way that there should be Tliya, meaning that whenever there's even a logical possibility of Tliya, then that's not called a Kesem. That's not Tomei B'Torah's Kesem. The Rabbanan created this new Tumah called Tumas Ksamim, and that's the way they created it. Therefore, he says the following. Im hatliya bedavar mashuch, ki hada hataz tolimbo. He says that if you want to apply the din of the taz, that there's tliya, right, the base hare, there's tliya even though it's mashuch. Afal gav, debekesem tolim gam bemashuch. If the logic of the Taz is that in Hilchus Ksamim we find Tliya on a Macholes even though it's Mashuch, and therefore the institution of Tliya applies even in Dam Mashuch, and therefore let's apply that in this case of the Taz and the Beis Arei, he says, Hainu Mishum Shekesem Hu Benkach U Benkach Dam Sheba Below Bedika. The Dam came without Bedika. And therefore, if it's down without bedika, it's a whole different halacha. The etzem himatzo mashuch, the fact that it doesn't matter. They found in this kesem mashuch is something that's yotze miharigilus. But nevertheless, the halacha is that since there was no bedika, and it's only a kesem, we're allowed to be tola even on something that's yotze min haregilus. But in a case of bedika, there we have to have something that's regilus. And to apply tliya in a case of mashuch, that's not called regilus. But eino chinami, in the case of tachoso b'yerecha, there was no Mairi be ofen shalohaya kinuach rak bedibuk. Now again, I'm not sure what he means. When she inserts this aid baduk between her legs, he says that that's not called kinuach. That's only called dibuk. Dibuk loshen devek, meaning that something got stuck, you know, some stain of blood got stuck attached to her body. And therefore he wants to say that in the case of Tachaso B'Recha, there it's a case where, since there was no Kinuach, there was a Bedika, but I think what he's saying is that, again, I'm not sure if we find the Dam also Ben Yerecha, al Gufa, let's assume against Rabbeinu Chananel, you remember this discussion that we had, that she finds Dam in both places. So he says the following, that the mashuch situation goes together hand in hand with kinuah, and to be tola something, you know, where there was a kinuah, on even though you find it mashuch, to be tola on something other than the kinuah. That's what I meant to say. Even though you found it mashuch, he says that's yotzim in aragius. That's already something unusual, because generally speaking, is kinuach is mashuch, and if it's a tliya and something else, then it's not mashuch. Again, as the rabbi pointed out very well, that should change within the mitzvahs in every circumstance. But the way the halacha, as you said, in a formal sense was operating, tliya is antithetical to mashuch, if there was a kinuach. Here, however, in the case of tachaso b'irecha, there we're not entering into the laws of kinuach. What we're saying is that the dam itself on the aid was the dam from Yerecha. And that's already dam dovuk. That he calls dam dovuk. It's not dam machmas kinuach. Anyway, the Sidrei Tara, based on this tshuva that he has from Rabbeinu Moshe, he says that if you look into the Rishonim, he says what you'll find, the Ikar, is that we need a hochacha sheina migufa, and the halacha of being tola applies when there's something other than kinuach. But if there was kinuach, then the halacha was formulated that we need agul and not moshuch. Now, despite this tirade in two places of the Sidrei Tara, I don't know what word I could use, not tirade, what would you call it? Some sort of rebellious movement against the Taz.
Disagreement?
Yeah, no, but it's like, it's more than just a disagreement. I mean, you see that the Sidrei Tara has an axe to grind here, so to speak. He's really...
displeasure.
Yeah, no, he's really battling against this Taz. You know, it's almost like a Melchemes Hashem, you know, against the Taz. But despite it, you should know that the Poskim quote the Taz. But in any event, let's get back to our original formulation, and with this we'll try to wrap things up. Okay. In the case of Ksamim, where there was no Hargosha, and the Rabbanan created Tumas Ksamim, then we have the Halach of Shir. When is the Kesem Metame? If it's Kegris V'od, and if it's not Kegris V'od, it doesn't come under Tumas Ksamim, and that's the Getter of Tliya, and we're not going to make any distinctions. How did she find the Dam? Was it organized as a circle? Was it organized as a Mashuch in one straight line? All that is irrelevant. Why? Because it's a Pachos Mikagris, and a Pachos Mikagris is not a Kesem. And the Rabbanan didn't institute Ksamim. And in the Rabbanan didn't institute Ksamim in Pachos Mikashir, that's called Tliya. And when there's Tliya, it's not a Kesem. Okay, fine. The question that we had was, what about Bizman Hazeh? You know, Bizman Hazeh, it's very difficult to assume that there's a Macholas over here, so the Tliya goes down. But again, the answer is that that's not called Kesem. And we had a long discussion. Remember the Meal Tztok, I think we mentioned way back when, that the Rabbanan, back in the day, and that has to do with also B'godim Tzivonim, all these issues are the Chassam Sofer that we discussed in the Piskei Tshuva. Again, I'm hoping that you remember this because I'm not going to go over this again, but the idea was that this is the way the Rabbanan organized Ksamim, and we're not going to undo what was already done, and we're not going to expand the scope of Ksamim Bizman Hazeh because we have less of a probability of Tliya B'Macholos. That's irrelevant. A kesem of less than a kegris is not metame midrabanan, and is tliya b'macholos, and we're not going to ask any questions about, well, when was the last time you sat on a macholos. And the same thing is true. What does Big Day Tzimonim have to do with anything? But since the initial gzera was made in the context of Kabbalah's Tuma, because as we said a million times over, Nida is relevant not just to Labaila, but also the Taros, and there we made a distinction between Begadim Tzivonim and not. But now we get to the case of an aid. And let me just, I'm just going to read this out loud to you. It's just a few lines. He says the following. He says, Bizmanenu, Efshal Litlos A. I'm sorry. I read this wrong. Bizmanenu. So Bizmanenu, let's say she checked herself with an aid bodok. correct? And she finds dam that's less than a shear of a kegris. So what are we going to say? We're going to say that less than a kegris, you know, if you put it up on your computer screen, what comes up?
Macholis
doesn't warm us up today anymore. You know, macholis is not a valid tliya. Meaning, when you were defining ksamim and the scope of the original gzeira of ksamim, then you could say, well, it's less than a kegris. There's something called tliya b'ksamim b'macholis, and we're going to apply that even b'zman hazeh. But once you get into an e baduk, then any sort of tliya has to be real. It has to be conclusive. And perhaps we could say not only with the Sidri Tara, you know, ascribe to that view, but even the Taz would ascribe to that view. That once we're in the realm of an Eid Baduk, then your Tliya has to be logical. So what happened? You did a Bedika with an Eid and you found Dam, which was Pachos Mikugris. You're going to tell me that there's Tliya B'macholis? Bisman said there's no Tliya B'macholis as a reality. And we're not dealing with an issue of Ksamim here. We're dealing with an issue of an Eid Baduk. Okay. Now we get to Agul. What happens when this Eid Baduk is not only Pachos Mikugris, but it's also Agul? How does that help us? So what are we saying? I'm going to leave out Macholis right now, and I think the rabbi is going to be happy with that. Let's talk about it more in an abstract sense. Let's say there's dam al gufa, correct? Let's say there might be dam bimita, or there's dam here, or there's dam there, correct? So that even if, in the case of agul, I can't be tola b'macholes b'zman hazeh, because that's not a reality, who are you fooling? But I could be told it in any number of other possibilities, and all because it was agul. So again, I need to start with macholes, because that triggers off tliya, the process of tliya. But that process of tliya is not going to reach its fruition. It's not going to be successful based on pochus mikagris, because then all you have is macholes, and macholes b'zman hazeh is not a valid tliya. For what? For a baduk. But what I'm going to do is, I'm going to try to find something else other than macholis that does exist bizman hazeh. So let's take the example of dam begufa. Let's say, you know, she could have a cut here, or she could have, she rolled here, or whatever, wherever the dam came from on our guf. Now, I have a proof that indicates tliya that the dam that she's finding on the eight buttock is not from Oso Makom, but rather it comes from other Damin. And what's that proof? Agul, the fact that she finds it Agul. Agul, even Bizman HaZeh, is a proof that it didn't come from the Kinuach. So for example, let's take the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says that she took the eight Baduk and she placed it in a place where there were other Ksam. Correct? So in that case, even though macholis is not a reality today, and we're talking about an eight baduk, I think the Beis Yosef is going to apply logically even bizman hazeh. Why? Because again, why did she find this eight baduk be'ogul and not be'moshach? So again, in every case, I think what we're going to have to decide is, do we have some sort of real possibility of tliya? So for example, this case of the Beis Yosef, she niach b'makom d'shchiach damim, or tzvoim adumim, or ksamim aleim dam. So she actually placed the aid bedika in a location where it may have picked up dam from somewhere else. And now we're going to apply the Rashba's principle of the chazaka that since she found it agul, therefore it's going to allow us to do tliya. Now, The only last question I want to raise with you, and this we'll leave it, is what about a case of Yosef Mikagris, and she finds Moshech? I'm sorry, I didn't say that right. I'm talking about Ksamen now, not about Eid Bdika. So I'm sorry if I confused you. Until now we're talking about Eid Bdika. I want to just add one last question about Ksamen. We said that a Kesem has to be Pachos Mikagris. What about a case of a Kesem that's Yosef Mikagris, but she found it Ogul and not Moshech? So I don't know, is it possible to say that in that case we have a Tliya similar to the logic that we saw in the Taz, even though the Taz says, even though she found on an Eid Baruch Moshech, but there was a very compelling reason for Tliya. Here also, what would be if she found Yosef Mikagris, but she found it Ogul? So I saw it, Rabbi, you shook your head. Why were you...
Because
I couldn't read your mind in this case. Usually I can more or less read your mind.
By definition, if you're dealing with a Kesa, then if it's Kagris, no matter what the size is, no matter what the shape is, it's by definition considered Tapeh.
Even if it's Ogul? Because I'm thinking to myself,
the shape is not significant. It's the size that the Chachamim are Kovei in terms of their Gzeira.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Let me just...
That I'm just gonna right.
Yeah, no, I'm just gonna add a tzarich iyun here to. And last but not least, and this is the point that I made before, if we're gonna apply the principle of tliya and an eight baduk based on the Beis Yosef that she didn't have argosh, I'm just wondering. Bizman Azeh, again, we have to look up in the poskim, but I'm pretty sure the poskim say that Bizman Azeh, there's no raya from the fact that she didn't have argosha, and therefore, if the whole push here for Tliya in the case of an Eid Baruch is because she didn't have argosha, I don't know how that would work Bizman Azeh. So that's a research project in and of itself. And not only that, we didn't even touch on the question what exactly constitutes an Eid Baruch. You know, it could be that there are certain restrictions or conditions that have to be met in order to qualify as an Eid Baruch, which we don't know about yet. I don't know what I mean at this point. But the whole sugya of what is an Eid Baruch is a very complicated sugya. In fact, we almost finished Simon Kuf Tzadi in the tour, which is a gigantic simon, and we deserve, I think, smicha just for Kuf Tzadi. But the last part of Kuf Tzadi is what makes an Eid Baruch and when is an Eid Eino Baruch. It's very easy, that may surprise you, according to some Rishonim, to convert a so-called Eid Baruch into an Eid Eino Baruch. Right, for example, he says, "Yesh mei rabu senu shahoru she'enu nikrei baduk ella shebadkaso v'lohini chaso ad shebadkabo." In other words, she checks it and then makes the bedikah. V'lohini chaso, and then we have to see what that means. But if she put it down and picked it up again, ein zeh nikra a baduk. Right? So I'm just pointing out that everything that we've discussed until now, which led us to wonder and question whether or not there's room for leniency in the case of an Eid Baruch based on, you know, some sort of tliya which is predicated on the fact that she had no argosha, if you follow what I mean. Maybe we could be makil despite that change bizmanenu by wondering whether an Eid Baruch is really an Eid Baruch. And for that we have to see the sugi which we haven't seen yet, which is the next gemara here on Daf Yudalit, about what is an Eid Baruch, and the machlok between the Rashba and the Rosh about what constitutes an Eid She'eino Baruch. So I'm hoping that we might be able to salvage some of the kulas that we found in the Beis Yosef and the Taz, even Bizman Azeh, once we define what an Eid Baruch is. It's not going to be a total success, but at least it'll be a partial success.
And then you can instruct women to never use an Eid Baruch, always use an Eid She'eino Baruch. I mean, like, who was
you? This I don't know. I can just tell you the following, that I heard from one of the poskim. He's not alive anymore, but I heard from his mouth that what you'll see in the Shulchan Aruch about a woman during Zaynikiyim and she should make the bedikas. He told me, this case is too complicated, leave it out. So again, I'm not going to give you a carte blanche, you know, heter, you know, to leave out all the bedikas. Obviously, we need three bedikas. We'll need the hefsiktara. We'll need bedikas yom rishon and bedikas yom zayin. That I'm not going to give up on. But as far as all the bedikas in the middle, which you'll find in Shulchan Aruch, if need be, I just want to tell you, I have, you know, experience from a posek, a big posek, that yesh makom lahakel.
Well, we learned that too.
But when I didn't take any of these courses that did, you know, but when I was learning this not long ago with Alan, actually, on Shavuos night, so we were talking about the idea that if you check it right away after Bedika, as opposed to a delay, of course. So someone overheard us. He said in his neither question, he said the Rav was, we told him, make sure you never check it right away.
I said, well, I so that we're gonna get to.
So that you always have that in the head there of saying that you wait. Right. But that doesn't. That seems to be like, no. How am I?
All right. So we'll have to pick that up as a separate topic. Again, you know, somebody.